Some people have taken what's called the Shantideva ordination, and it reads this way. There's a word here, sugata, S-U-G-A-T-A, which means wise being. When the sugatas of former times committed themselves to the bodhicitta, they gradually established themselves in the practice of a bodhisattva. So I too commit myself to the bodhicitta for the welfare of all beings, and will gradually establish myself in the practice of a bodhisattva, which is a being who vows to relinquish enlightenment and to continue being born to help mankind. So I too commit myself to the bodhicitta for the welfare of all beings, and will gradually establish myself in the practice of a bodhisattva. Today, my birth has become fruitful. My birth as a human being is justified. Today, I am born in the Buddha family. I am now a son of the Buddha. Now, I am determined to perform those acts appropriate to my family. I will not violate the purity of this faultless, noble family. That's very sacred. That's the Buddhist version. Today my human birth is justified. To think of oneself in such a family should fill one with gratitude. And it's like a marker against which to evaluate what one is doing. And if one takes such a vow and brings it to mind over and over, one will gradually find oneself coming in line with it. And if one were to take such a vow or ordination and persist through time, deeper levels of meaning will become conscious. And as they become conscious, one will become more and more grateful for the fact that one even knows about such things, and for the fact that there are beings that one can actually emulate and seek to serve. And at the very least, according to the voice of the silence, at the very least, one can attempt to give hope to others who have no hope. Share what wisdom one has when appropriate. The voice of the silence speaks of giving light to all and taking light from none. That's compassion. And if a person persists in this, they say, the time will come when they're no longer worried about how they're doing in relation to the pledge. They'll be so oriented in their consciousness to the whole of mankind that their own relationship to it will cease to really matter very much. They'll just be trying to be true to their vows or their pledges. And they'll never parade them about or probably even mention them. And they won't be do-gooders. That's not what it's about. Some of you who have been parents know that often the most compassionate thing is not quote unquote kindness. So there's an art involved as one moves along, and it involves what to say to whom when. And Kuan Yin, being universal compassion, exemplifies it in every conceivable context. So one's learning an art that's been mastered by masters. And much of what one does as one moves along, so it's said, is quietly think about other people and send them light and send them compassion. Quietly, without them knowing. Knowing that one can't walk anybody's path for them, but that the way we're helped by great teachers is through their meditations. And that's how we can help others through ours. We don't have to see the results of it, but the effects can be very powerful. And I want to read you three things. It says in the article called The Pledge of Kuan Yin, it says, many a monk on the Bodhisattva path has found immense benefit through the talismanic use of these three verses. Talismanic is like magical. Actually using these three verses. The first one is, if you are unable to exchange your happiness for the suffering of other beings, you have no hope of attaining Buddhahood or even of happiness in this lifetime. If you are unable to exchange your happiness for the suffering of other beings, you have no hope of attaining Buddhahood or even of happiness in this lifetime. That's called exchanging oneself for another. You take on their suffering and you radiate your bliss. Secondly, if one whom I have helped my best and from whom I expect much harms me in an inconceivable way, may I regard that person as my best teacher. If one whom I have helped my best and from whom I expect much harms me in an inconceivable way, may I regard that person as my best teacher. That's something that's practiced by the Dalai Lama relative to the Chinese. Desecration of Tibet. I consider all living beings more precious than wish-fulfilling gems, a motivation to achieve the greatest goal. So may I at all times care for them. I consider all living beings more precious than wish-fulfilling gems, a motivation to achieve the greatest goal. So may I at all times care for them. So those three verses are very helpful. So basically we're talking about gradually collapsing one sense of self and not thinking of oneself as separate from the human condition at all. And lastly, I mean, there's so much more one could say relative to the virtues and so forth, especially mental equilibrium. But lastly, it's said that if a person's moving in the direction of taking such a pledge, or a vow or an ordination. It's good to try to cultivate a sense of childlike innocence, of pure joy. If one thinks of universal compassion, which the great teachers embody and teach, which Kuan Yin exemplifies, that is a source of great joy. So even though the path is arduous, there can be a childlike innocence and wonder to it. And children are naturally grateful. I wish you all well. Thank you.